Blog Talk Radio.
Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
Welcome to the Wedding 101 radio show. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. I own a music company, David Rothstein Music. Our website is drsmusic.com. This program was designed to be a helpful resource for both brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features wedding professionals from a different aspect of wedding planning, photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow professionals. If you have an idea for a guest on the show, please let us know. And we hope you enjoy today's radio broadcast. We have a very, very special program today. We have an actual bride and groom, and this is Molly Benedict and Joe Maynor, and they have recently gone through the whole process of looking for various vendors, all types of venues, florists, photographers, and they've actually chosen us to do the music for their wedding. So today's show, you're going to find out some really great inside information about what vendors they really liked, what aspects of things various vendors they liked and didn't like, and maybe some great advice for various brides and grooms that are just kind of getting started with the whole process. So we'd like to thank Molly and Joe for being part of the program, and welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Yep, thank you for having us.
How did you guys meet?
We met Memorial Day of 2011, and we actually met at a party just through mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And kind of a funny story, I had first seen Joe and was talking to him a little bit, and he was not giving me the time of day. So I kind of chased him around that night, and kind of funny twist to the story, he ended up, I guess we can say, chasing me the rest of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how we met, just through some mutual friends.
And here you are today, right?
Well, it worked out well.
Great. And when you guys first got engaged, after you called your family and friends and posted it on Facebook, what were some of the first steps you took to get started in the planning process?
Well, we were actually in San Francisco when we got engaged, so we were on vacation.
Okay.
So we didn't have too much time immediately to start the planning process. Obviously, I've never been through this before, so we had, during our engagement, we actually had my best friend and her husband come surprise us, or Joe was obviously a part of it, surprise me.
Hmm.
So he got married in 2010, so she was able to give me some advice throughout our vacation, which was over the weekend. So when I got back to Chicago on the Monday after our engagement, I had taken off work because it actually happened to be my birthday.
Oh.
I had just taken off work just to kind of honor the birthday and had just obviously gotten engaged. So I started doing some planning. And my first priority, what I'd been told, was to look for venues. Chicago, I had been told that the typical Chicago couple or the average Chicago couple was engaged for 18 months. So I knew that we wanted a fall wedding of the next year that was less than 12 months. So I had my work cut out for me. So venues was definitely the first thing that I started researching.
And once you got engaged, did you spend some time, before you started even looking at venues or really doing anything, really sitting down with the two of you and trying to talk about what type of wedding you're envisioning? Or did you think you had a pretty good idea before you even started searching?
Yeah, that was actually a good question. We sat down probably that next day to the excitement of everything, and
right.
I asked Joe what his must-haves were. So if we had no budget, you know, we just could have this awesome wedding, what would his must-haves be? And his was a live band.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me the same question. Mine was a videographer. I really wanted to capture the moment in more than just pictures. So we knew from day one that we had to have a live band and we had to have a videographer.
Great. And as you mentioned, the biggest decision that you really have to make besides the person you're actually marrying is finding the perfect venue. And you had quite a journey with that. And from what you had said, you had looked at 13 venues. Is that correct?
That's correct, 13.
And what was the criteria that was most important to you guys for finding the perfect place?
Well, you know, we wanted it to be something that would be easy for everyone to get to. So we... And a lot of our friends live in the city, so it was important for it to be located either downtown or close to the city. Second thing, we were pretty sure we wanted it, the wedding on site as well as the reception. so we wanted a place that could host both. We wanted a place that could have a band or that would be great with a band, since that was one of my prerequisites. And, you know, last but not least, we wanted something that stood out to us, somewhere that we felt that would, you know, the people there would take care of us, and also just, you know, something that would stand out that people would walk in and say, wow, you know, I've never been here before, and this is a lot of fun and great. What a great spot for a wedding.
Was it important to find a place? Did you have a discussion in terms of do we need to have it at a place that has hotel rooms, or does it really matter? I mean, if you found a place that happened to be inside a hotel, would that be okay, or were you trying to find a place that was kind of independent of being a hotel?
No, we looked at hotels as well as, you know, non-hotels. So that part didn't matter, but as far as how close it was to a hotel, it did matter. So we needed a place that had hotels around it. But, you know, whether it was a hotel, we looked at hotels and we looked at non-hotels. So that was kind of, that wasn't a big, it was not a deciding factor for us.
And you went out and actually walked into each of the rooms, each of these venues personally then, huh?
We did, all 13.
Wow.
Molly's fantastic with her research. So we were able to look at all these places online first. But as you probably know as well, I mean, your band's played at hundreds of venues, so you don't really know a place until you walk in it. And so we found that out with all the places. You get a different feel once you're there. So, yeah, we did actually physically go in and check out 13 venues. And the place we picked was the 11th one that we saw. So, and that's the one, you know, we fell in love with. So it was good that we looked at as many as we did.
And after you looked at all these places, did you go home and then write down your impressions of the places, and so you could really keep track? Because after looking at 13 places, I'm sure certain aspects of it, oh, no, that was the one that had this. No, this is the one that had that. So you really had to sit down and be very organized, very diligent about expressing your honest opinions about the pluses and minuses for each of these places, right?
Definitely. One of my things, I'm a little OCD when it comes to organization. This was definitely advantageous for us. So what I did, I had actually reached out to just a couple friends asking if they had any ideas about venues that they had taken off work when I was researching that next morning. I'd reached out to just a few friends asking if anyone had heard anything good. I'd looked on, you know, all these websites and seen all these venues and I had actually gotten a spreadsheet from a friend who had a coworker who had gotten married, and she had this crazy venue spreadsheet. And it had every single category that you could possibly take into account when choosing a venue. So I started creating my own, and I'm a very visual person, and I'm not great with Excel. So I actually took every single venue that I wanted to look at, all 13, and printed out a pros and cons sheet just on a Word document. And had the venue title on the top, and then the pros on the left and the cons on the right. And we had these pieces of paper physically with us when we went to every venue so that I could write down notes. And I kind of would preface, you know, our meetings with the venue managers and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be taking notes. Is this okay, you know, if I'm frantically writing? And just to remember, obviously this is a huge day and we wanted to remember all the details. And like you said, they start running together. One thing Joe didn't mention, we did all these 13 venues in 2 weeks. So we had a lot of appointments, and it was very, very easy for them to kind of run together in our minds. So it was really, really, really important that we took detailed notes. And the venue managers were totally cool, of course, with us taking notes. And I felt like when I was taking good notes, they would give me extra details about the venue, which was really, really helpful.
Did you take pictures of any of the rooms as well, or was that just all by memory?
Yeah, it was. I think it was all by memory. I don't remember taking any pictures of the rooms. Obviously, the websites for the venues have great pictures, too, so we'd utilize that. But the ones that stuck out, we narrowed it down to a top three, and those that stuck out, we definitely had mental images of them.
Now, of all the other 12 venues that didn't make the absolute final cut, was there anything consistent, any of the cons or things that you saw in these other places that just really didn't strike you the right way, or was it just a case-by-case basis? In other words, was there one specific thing that you found consistent in venues that really kind of turned you off or didn't make you want to actually go ahead with the contract?
to be completely honest, no. Our top three were totally different from each other, and there weren't, you know, there wasn't a theme in any of those that obviously didn't make it.
Okay.
I think for theme, 13 venues is definitely on the higher side. I think the most typical couples, I think the number is 5 to 8 venues that people usually go to see. So we were able to eliminate, I would say, 5 immediately, and that was just going in, meeting the manager of the venue, the person that we'd be working with, or the day of coordinator, and just seeing the venue and knowing that this is a, you know, this is a nice venue, but it's definitely not our style, it's not our fit. So we were able to eliminate right away, and that could have been size of the room, it could have been decor, it could have been the theme that kind of already comes with the venue, it could have been price. So it definitely wasn't one particular theme that we found for those that we didn't choose. But with the venue that we did end up going with, it was, like Joe had mentioned earlier, that we fell in love with it right away. We loved the manager of the venue, and we're obviously extremely excited.
And this is the Edmonton Women's Club with Carol Drew there, who's absolutely fantastic. And I think one thing, did you when you walked into these various places, were you trying to kind of envision you guys in the actual room and all your family and friends and what it would actually be like? Because when you're actually going to the venues to visit them, you're seeing basically an empty room. Or did you actually go at times when they had a wedding going on that evening?
Yeah, and that's actually a funny story. So when we first saw the Women's Club of Evanston, we had been actually set up for kind of like a donation or a silent auction on the Halloween themes. We had seen it on Halloween. So it was black and orange, and the Women's Club of Evanston is known for these beautiful French doors throughout the venue, and they were all black, and, you know, they had black curtains all over them. So we'd actually seen the venue on a very not so typical night, definitely not a set up for a wedding. So we had fallen in love just with Carol, like you mentioned, Carol Short, who's so great, and just the venue in itself we loved. So when we had gone back to drop off our check to secure our date, it was set up for this absolutely beautiful wedding, and we couldn't be happier. So we fell in love with not even its greatest potential, and when we saw the wedding set up, we were like, wow, this is going to be absolutely amazing. But going back to your earlier point, definitely, when we went through the venues, we were trying to picture ourselves, picture our guests, picture our friends having fun, dancing, and just a great setup.
Well, I guess that's a great thing. It's kind of like when you meet somebody for the first time and they're not wearing any makeup, or the guy is wearing a, you know, a crummy T-shirt or something like that. If you like him at that point, you know, maybe that's probably you've seen him at basically their worst or something that they're not trying to make a big impression of for your wedding. And then if you still like them, that's probably the place to the person to go out with and maybe the venue to choose for your wedding.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very funny. So that covers a little bit of the about the various venues that you've looked at. Once you got engaged, was your initial search online? Was it going through wedding magazines or asking your friends and relatives for their input?
Kind of a mixture of all three. Like I said, that day I had taken off work after we had gotten engaged. I had done a lot of online research, and I was shooting Joe emails throughout the day saying, can you call this place? I've talked, you know, I've emailed with them, just call them, confirm that they've gotten my email, kind of making him do some work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of bridal magazines. In fact, I'm looking at about 12 that I have right now.
Wow.
So kind of flipping through those. And actually, when you go to see, I can remember at least 4 specific venues that had given us bridal magazines as well, which was great, just as kind of a thanks for coming to see us, here's a bridal magazine to look through. So that added to my collection. Did some of that, but that was more for inspiration. Not necessarily was I looking through these magazines to look at a specific, you know, venue or to find contact information through that. I did all of that online. There's some great websites out there that I utilized for a hefty amount of those, the time searching.
And in terms of the online things, did you tend to Google certain things like Chicago wedding planning, Chicago wedding, or did you go to places like The Knot, Wedding Wire, and kind of look at the listings from there?
Sure. So when we first engaged, all I knew was TheKnot.com. That's all I've ever heard of. I didn't really ask my friends when they were going through their engagements or wedding planning what websites they used, because I wasn't engaged, and I cared, of course, about their planning, but wasn't, you know, talking specifics at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just Googled wedding websites, and WeddingDeeds.com and WeddingWire.com were two that I was using a lot. I kind of look at WeddingWire.com as a Yelp for wedding reviews. So Wedding Wire is much more of, you know, you can find specific vendors, so like bands or caterers or florists or bakers for your cake or any of that. And it's much more real brides actually giving their review of how the vendor was, whereas the Knot.com is much more informational coming from the vendor side. So they pay for these advertisements or articles or whatever. So I felt Wedding Wire was much more useful because reviews was huge for me, and I wanted to hear people a week ago that had a wedding there and how they felt and what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it, what they would change, what, you know, they wouldn't change. So that was kind of with Wedding Wire what I was using.
Interesting. Yeah, I could completely see that because Wedding Wire is definitely a little bit easier in terms of being able to post reviews, and I think that's a bigger part of what they're all about because, you know, as you said, anybody can just say, hey, we're the best florist, we're the best photographer or whatever. But when you've got all these other brides that have actually used their services in an honest way, giving very honest reviews, and there are certainly some very honest reviews that I've read from some various brides about various vendors, I think the trust factor goes up. And whenever you're buying something from somebody, I think the opinions that matter the most are those that are the furthest removed from that particular vendor, because that's where you can really – they have no vested interest in the plus or minus of a particular vendor. So you really have to consider the source, and that's why a lot of vendors really, I think, get too much into the we're the best. And I think, I mean, you can tell me this as a bride and groom, is that something that is you find to be a little of a turnoff after a while when someone's constantly like hitting you over the head that they're really the best as opposed to letting their reviews and what other people are saying about them speak for themselves?
Yeah, definitely. Just to give you a shout out, I remember one of the words of advice that you'd given us when we first met with you was look at reviews and look at dates. Which is huge, which you don't really think about. You know, you're reading reviews and you're not necessarily looking at the date. But to see that, you know, this florist or this photographer or whomever had done weddings, you know, 5 weddings in the last 5 weeks and all the reviews have been great rather than looking at reviews from 2007 or 2008 or 2009, which you do see on WeddingWire.com. So that was really important. And just, yeah, definitely letting the reviews speak for themselves. I mean, anyone can pay a certain amount of money to put up an advertisement or say that they're the best, but until you actually hear it from a real bride or a real groom, it really makes a difference. And like you said, when we met with you, we want to make sure that that review speaks for itself. So that person that had witnessed and gone through the experience is saying, hey, it was awesome. They say it is, and it is. So that was important to us.
And also, does it matter in terms of the number of reviews that you're seeing there, too, and like the length of reviews, or is it you kind of get a general idea? You take the best reviews, the worst reviews, and you kind of find a happy medium, or do you tend to look at, you know, each and every one, every review that they have and try to get an overall sense for where they're at?
I think we've tried our hardest to look at each review, but as you know, especially for some of the larger vendors, you know, it takes forever to read 80 reviews, or and some are great lengths. So I think by the end of it, we just look at the trends of it. Speaking of which, you know, a photography company that we're looking at going with, you know, had a ton of reviews and actually had some bad reviews, but they were back from a number of years. You know, once you looked at the dates, they were from a number of years ago. Like 07, 08, and then once we read more about the company, they went through a change of ownership, so on and so on. So then you look at the reviews, you know, since 2010, and they've had hundreds, and all of them were great. So we didn't want to just look at them and look and say, oh, they had a bad review 5 years ago, you know, but to give them an honest look, and especially what the recent trend has been, that was important to us.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very important thing because a lot of people get stuck with either on their website or the reviews, like, here's this great wedding we did in 2006, or here's this fantastic photo of our services in 2009. And to me, at least, and certainly sounds like to you guys as well, it's like, what have you done for me lately? You know, we want to see the most recent work that you've done in the past couple of years. And if you go to somebody's website and they're showing you things that they've specifically dated, from 3 or 4 years ago that may put up a red flag that, well, maybe there's not so much great stuff going on now. So I think vendors out there, it's really important, and you guys can confirm this, but if you keep your website updated with the most recent reviews, the most recent photographs, the most recent videos, and certainly, you know, having good quality is very important too, but making sure that, you know, these are very recent recent things that you're showing to people, as opposed to living off, you know, playing for this one celebrity, 5 years ago. So keep your information up to date, keep your reviews up to date, photos, videos, interviews with brides and grooms, and that is something that will certainly, I think, show that you're a growing company, you care about your company, and you're staying up to date.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's go through some other aspects of things. When you first got engaged, did you sit down and say, okay, Joe, you're going to be in charge of the band. Molly, you're in charge of finding a videographer. How did you guys divide things up, or did you pretty much go through everything together?
I'm trying to remember. I was definitely the one looking up the band because that was my my need. That was what I wanted the most. And Molly was looking up videographers because that was something she wanted the most. We both looked up vendors, but to be honest, Molly was able to spend a little bit more time on it and did a fantastic job of researching that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually her mom spent a lot of time looking up the caterers, which was a big help for both of us because we both work, full-time jobs. And as you know, David, a lot of the vendors, you know, are available, or their sales offices are available from 8 to 5 or what have you. So it's kind of difficult to get a hold of people sometimes if you're working all day. So it was a collaborative effort, and we did pick up certain things that people did, but we all had a hand in it.
And did you have, I'm sure you had some other input because you're with your family and friends, said, oh, call this guy, take a look at this website, what do you think about this? And how did you kind of balance between trying to taking their opinions and their ideas with, yeah, I really appreciate it. We love the having an accordion player, but I don't think we're going to go this other direction, you know, because everybody has a lot of different ideas of things that work for their wedding or something they came across. Did you have some situations where you had a family or friend that actually gave you some ideas that maybe not exactly what you had in mind, and you had to kind of, you know, get that balance between thank you, but I think we're going to look over here. Do they have a lot of influence in giving you guys ideas?
My parents and his parents are absolutely awesome in the fact that they kind of take a backseat to everything and really let us get our hands dirty and do the work, which has been awesome. So they have not been opinionated in the way that I've ever felt suffocated or that I have to go in a certain direction. It's been very, hey, that sounds great. Did you, you know, make sure you do all your research and you actually go talk to the vendors and do all that, and we're happy to, you know, help in any way that we can. And they've just been really, really awesome in that way. As far as my friends go, you know, the ones that have gotten married have said, oh, my goodness, you have to go with this band. You have to go with this DJ. You have to go with this photographer. You have to go. Here's their contact information. I'll contact them and make sure that, you know, they get in contact with you. So it hasn't been a whole, oh, I haven't heard back. You know, I try to contact them because they've reached out to the vendors saying, Molly's going to contact you. So I've definitely dealt with a few vendors that, you know, their work is awesome and it's great and it's a great fit for a specific certain wedding, but not for ours.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't ever been, you know, I haven't had my friends saying, well, why didn't you go with them? It's
okay.
Been more like, oh, it didn't work out for you, no problem. But, you know, my wedding worked out great. And, you know, I can definitely confirm that, yeah, it was an awesome wedding and it worked out really, really well for you. We haven't had any, knock on wood, bad experiences so far. It's been really great. We've definitely had appointments with vendors that we knew. For example, I know I can just think of, at the top of my head, just a few photography sessions that we've sat through that haven't been our style, and it's not what we're looking for. And it's been a very easy conversation saying, hey, you know, you have some great work, but this isn't going to work out for us. And they've actually a few times been able to offer other, you know, names for us. So it's been a really great experience so far, and we haven't had too much pressure or too many awkward conversations, if you will.
Good. And as you're going along through this process, let's say you're looking, as you just brought up, about photographers. Did you guys do some reading in terms of wedding blogs, like what are the things to look at, how to choose a great wedding photographer, or did you just kind of jump into it and just started talking to people?
My knowledge of photography is the pictures I take on my iPhone and maybe some Instagram filters. I have no idea about photography other than I enjoy taking pictures and posting them on Facebook. Joe's kind of in the same boat. In fact, he didn't even have Facebook until about 3 months ago. So we really don't know too much about photography. And I had the only really experience I had with wedding photography was from albums that I'd seen from friends or family. So I had no idea, and it was pretty eye-opening for us when we sat through our first session about, you know, all the different styles of photography and how these photographers are really artists, and they really take a lot of pride in their work. And that was really cool for us. It was kind of, you know, a new thing to explore and to get excited about and to really choose what we wanted or what we liked. So going to the next session or next consultation, we're able to kind of, you know, choose a certain style that we'd seen before that we'd really liked and kind of see how it differs across the board as far as different photographers, for example. So that was a lot of fun, and we've had a lot of fun just kind of choosing our style and seeing kind of what fits.
And I think that's really important is to kind of, because you know, planning a wedding of any size involves buying a lot of really expensive things you've never bought before, because I'm sure you guys have been to both, you know, independently and together, lots and lots of weddings, but never really paid attention to, you know, the invitations or the schedule or the flowers or the linens or anything like that. And so now you're in a situation where, like, oh, here's all these things you have to buy, and you've never bought any of them before. So a lot of times, why a lot of vendors really get kind of tripped up when brides call up and they say, you know, how much are you? And it gets a little frustrating because they feel that brides are just writing down, you know, the name of a vendor and then an amount without really learning about what aspects make one a better fit or a better value than another. And I think the reason why that happens is basically you don't know what questions to even ask, right? Amy, when you're calling a wedding photographer, you're not going to say, you know, how many hours does this include? You're going to say, generally, how much are you? Unless you've done some research and looking at various blogs, and we have all these shows that we've done on our program are all archived on our website. So if you do want to find out a little bit more about catering, we have an interview with John Rudy from Food for Thought Catering, and he'll give you some insights, some great questions to ask so that you can be a little bit more educated when you go to approach buying a specific service or product. In the same way that, you know, that we all grew up buying cars and we would go over there and Joe would be like, wow, hey, look at that. I love the red finish on that. Look at those cool tires. And you know, and then your dad would sit you down, talk to you about the difference between a V6 and a V8 and transmission and everything like that. But a lot of times we'll just go with the small amount of information that we know. So you're always better off doing a little bit of homework so you know what it is that you don't know, you know. And then as you go further and further, and I'm sure you guys found this, especially looking at venues, by the time you got to the 10, 11, 12, 13th venue, you had a pretty good idea of what questions to ask, what things to look for. And that just really does take some time and some investments, but can really help you make the best decisions for your wedding.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that, David, because we actually saw five different photographers / videographers, and by like the third, fourth, fifth one, they were really surprised about the questions that we were asking. We were asking questions that, like you said, we didn't know about going into the first one. So, so again, we were able to do our research and weigh all options and weigh, you know, cost isn't, you know, cost is part of it, but also it's what you're paying for, you know, and what you get. So measuring the cost per the value. We found the more research we did with both the venues and the photographer, we were able to measure cost and value.
And when you went to go look at all these photographers, let's just say, since we're on that subject, did you have, okay, Molly, we're going to sit down and we're going to look at five photographers, and then we're going to choose. Or did you say, we're just going to keep searching until we find somebody who we just fall in love with? And did you have a particular number in mind, or was it just more of a, whatever the process requires, we're going to do it?
it was whatever the process was, we're going to do it. You know, initially we had three because we knew we wanted to get at least a feel for a couple. And then, you know, we wanted to keep searching until, like you said, the process was completed. So we were able to do that.
And how much did the person that you were in contact with or the venue, how much did the personality kind of come into play? Were there some people that maybe you thought they provided a great service or a great product, but maybe their personality wasn't exactly what you were looking for?
Definitely. I mean, we experienced all different types of personalities. We experienced, I don't want to say cold, but just people that were, you know, here's the facts, here's the price, here's when we can meet. And coming across an email, of course, is different than how someone may come across in person. So those personalities would change as we met the specific people. But I would say, you know, definitely a more friendly customer service oriented person was getting more of my interest because it was someone that I was going to be interacting with. I mean, we're getting married September 14th, and it's only December of 2012. So we still have a healthy 9 months to be communicating with these vendors. So definitely someone that was personable, and actually the videographer that we chose, I said in the email confirming that, yes, we wanted to go with you, was, I really liked you. You were really sweet. You were really personable. You were a fun person to deal with for the hour that we sat with you, and that was a big decision for us. So, yeah, that definitely does play a role.
And I think that's certainly a good message for all the wedding vendors that are out there, is that a lot of times, you know, we get really, really excited about our products and our services, and we want to tell brides and grooms every single thing about us and how fabulous we are, and we've done this, that, and the other. But really what they're listening to is how it benefits them and how you're going to be able to listen to their specific needs. And if we're, you know, talking about some incredible award that we've won and how this fantastic event sometimes, but they're only interested in terms of they want to know that, first of all, that you care about them, you know, on a real personal basis. And if you have some type of great fancy camera or lens or something, you don't just say that. You have to say that by having this type of top-notch experience will allow you to get far better quality photographs, or maybe we have a fancier, quicker process for going through our photographs so you can get your photographs back much faster as well. So always think of that balance between feature and benefits, and don't get too caught up in all the things that you've done. And remember that the bride and groom, like Molly and Joe, are really looking for someone that's going to care about them and how your services or product can make their wedding that much more spectacular.
Well, and it's funny you say that, David, when you talk about, you know, feeling good or features and benefits. The two of the most important things, we talked about the venue and the band and yourself, and mm-hmm. and to kind of praise you a little bit here, and Carol as well. But to be honest, we walked out of the venue with Carol feeling good because we knew she was going to take care of us no matter what. And we felt the same way walking out of the meeting with you, that no matter what was going to happen, we you know, it was a comfortable fit. Like, we felt you were going to take care of us. And mm-hmm. And I think when going into that, it made sense, because looking at some other vendors as well, you know, they all did a great job and all those things. But you could tell you and Carol as well that this was a big part of your life. You know, like, this was something that you put your heart and soul into.
Mm-hmm.
And some other vendors, you didn't get that as much. You know, it was maybe that was their day job on Saturday and they were there to meet us type thing. And that, again, it wasn't bad. They had a great personality, but just with you and Carol, this was your passion. This is what you want. This is, you know, this was part of your life. And so we knew that you'd put a lot of effort into making our wedding great.
Well, I really appreciate that. And that really means a lot to me, because that's, to me, why I started the whole company, is that I really wanted to make it something that is meaningful for both the bride and groom and all the vendors we get to work with and all the musicians, so that we all come away from that particular wedding that this was something spectacular that we all share together. And when I hear about people that are in the business that do get jaded and stuff, I think it's just a matter of, you know, really not digging deep enough into the lives of the people that you're playing for and what makes them really unique. Because every single wedding has the potential to be completely different than the one you did before. So there's a lot of things that there's a certain amount of humanness from all these weddings and all the brides and grooms. And Molly and Joe have their story, and the couple we played for recently, Dina and Carter, they had their story and their backgrounds and their funny uncle and brother and everything like that. And that's what makes this stuff so fascinating. Some people love Motown. Some people love Top 40. Some people love huge floral displays, and some don't. So it's really a matter of keeping that sincere enthusiasm up and really creating something that's just some expression, helping Molly and Joel really express themselves through their wedding. And that's where the fun and the real joy is, I think.
Definitely.
All right, let's jump a little bit deeper into some of the websites. And I'm sure in addition to looking to The Knot and Wedding Wire, you looked at a lot of independent websites, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So was there anything when you first went to somebody's website that initially you just looked at just the homepage and just turned you off right away, where you just said, no, I'm not even going to, I don't want to find anything more about this, and you just closed it out quickly?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some websites that turned us off if they were complicated to use. I work for a tech firm, so I work with technologists,
okay.
And I still want something that's user-friendly. I can navigate my way through a website with the best of them, but I just want something that's dumb and easy and user-friendly and, like I said, easy to navigate. I'm stressed enough with wedding planning and trying to, you know, get in contact with people to set up consultations. I don't want to spend a half hour trying to get you through your website. I want to know right where your contact information is. I want to know the best way to contact you. I want to be able to submit some information about myself, and hopefully we can get the conversation started. There were some websites that at first were, you know, I was turned off to, but looking on WeddingWire and seeing positive reviews, I went back and revisited and navigated my way through, even if they weren't the most user-friendly, and was able to establish contact with that vendor. So I would say on an initial kind of preview of the website, there were definitely some that turned me off, but once I did my homework and my research, and realized that they were great companies through those, you know, real bride reviews, I would go back and try a little bit harder. But if someone was just, you know, didn't utilize a Wedding Wire and were just going off initial searches, for example, for, you know, Google, and, you know, found websites that were hard to use, I think that would definitely be a turnoff.
And when you went to someone's homepage of their website, what are the first and the main things that you're looking for right away?
Well, I think that depends on, you know, what you're looking at. So for a photographer, I wanted to see their work. For a band, I wanted to hear their music. I wanted to see their band live.
Mm-hmm.
For a venue, I wanted to see pictures of where my potential ceremony or where my potential, you know, reception would be. I wanted to see those things because I think every bride envisions her wedding day. And going back to a very early point that we'd mentioned earlier in this conversation, you know, when we did this wedding plan and we wanted to see ourselves there, and that's why we love the Women's Club, because we could see ourselves getting married there. So when we're looking at potential consultations to meet with someone that we could potentially be at our wedding and providing a service, we wanted to envision that. So I think, you know, for a band, seeing the band, hearing the band, for a florist, seeing their work, for a photographer, seeing, you know, work, for and portfolios, and for a videographer, just seeing actual real recent weddings that they've done.
And a lot of people spend time doing very, very highly produced, very slick videos to kind of display their products or their services. Do you find that's a real benefit, or are you interested in seeing something that's just more authentic and raw and realistic and recent? Or does it really kind of depend on what they're doing?
No, I mean, we totally want raw, authentic. Hey, we did a wedding last night. Check it out. This is it. That's what we want. I mean, we want those candid, real moments. That's more important to us than anything that they can produce.
Yeah, I believe that's true, and that's, we certainly do a lot of that ourselves. I mean, there's actually an interview with the bride and groom from Saturday, from literally 24 hours ago from the wedding we had just played, and I've always kind of felt that way. I've seen a lot of very beautifully produced videos that to me, and Joe, you can certainly chime on this as well, but is that something that kind of makes you, like, what are you guys hiding if it's too well produced?
Well, you know, I think that, yeah, exactly. What are you hiding? Also, I think it's important to see what the product that you're going to end up getting. You know, like, I don't, like you said before about being authentic or providing what the
what the couple wants. I don't care. I don't care what awards somebody's won. I just want to see how it's going to look for our wedding.
And like you said, for a band, then I want to see the performance. I don't want to like a CD or something like that is nice to have from the band playing music, but that's just the band, like in a studio. You know, I want to see them at a wedding. I want to see what the crowd's going to be like at our wedding. I want to see, you know, how the crowd reacts to the band. Do the people dance to the band? You know,
mm-hmm.
for a photographer or videographer, I want to see their video. You know, if they offer a 10-minute trailer video, I want to see videos that the trailers that they've done. I don't care about like this other production that they've done, because that's not how my wedding video is going to look. So, you know, that's I agree with you 100%. I'd rather see the raw material, but that's why.
I see. Okay. And the same thing with, I've also heard this as well, that like Molly, is it important for you to see and really empathize with photographs of seeing an actual bride using the product or service at an actual wedding, as opposed to just instead of the flowers sitting there on a table, maybe a photograph of the bride with the flowers? Is that more compelling to you?
Yeah. I mean, just like I said earlier, just being able to envision it for myself. And like Joe mentioned earlier, with the produced stuff, it doesn't really matter what he said, what awards you won or anything. I believe you said this when we first met with you, it's our wedding day, and that's all that matters. So all the services that you produce for our wedding day need to be the best. And I'm glad that you won awards. That really shows that, you know, you're doing well, but all that matters is us. So
right.
I think with the photographer seeing pictures with, you know, with the flowers or whatever would definitely be advantageous. But just kind of seeing a whole portfolio too, and seeing kind of what the photographer can do and different angles, because we've learned through our style, we like a lot of different stuff. We like the traditional poses with the family to have those, you know, keepsakes, but we also really, really like the candid shot. So just kind of seeing us interacting with all of the time and effort we've put into looking at florists and our cake and all that, capturing all that is huge with the photographer, and seeing real examples is very important.
So really all these things come back to the ability and the desire to customize things. And the fact that you may have all these great tools, but you have to have the attitude and the experience to be able to, and the willingness to be able to adjust them to what you specifically want.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's so huge, David. It's what the difference is between us going with a vendor and not going with another vendor, to be honest.
Okay, great. And also, let's talk about customer service. When you filled out a form on someone's website, was that a big factor in terms of how soon they got back to you, or was it?
Yeah, you know, and I know we talked about it when I met with you, David, or when Molly and I met with you, but, you know, you called me back. It was a Sunday night, you know, at 9:00 at night, and I actually just decided to start going on the websites and start looking at bands, because we had already picked the venue, so that was our first step out of the way, and Molly was starting to look at caterers or, you know, photographers, so I'm like, well, I'll do my part, and you called me back, you know, right after I filled out the form online on a Sunday night, and we had a good conversation. So, you know, where certain other places maybe didn't get back to me for a few days, you know, which is fine. I understand, you know, everyone gets busy and all those other things,
right.
But it makes a difference, you know. You made a lasting impression right off the bat. Again, I talked about it earlier, but we felt comfortable after we sat down with you, mm-hmm. and that was part of the reason. You know, we knew that, hey, you know, David is on it. You know, this is big to not only us, but this is big to David. And he called us right after we filled out the form. You know, this is something that he, you know, this is his business. He takes it very seriously, and you know, it's not gonna be. It's not like on our wedding day we're gonna, you know, we're gonna have to worry about David, you know, the band being late or something. Like, you know, I mean, you know, we know you're on top of it, and that was a big impression for us. It was right off the bat, so that first impression is big.
I certainly appreciate you saying that. You're certainly not obligated to do anything because it's my show, but I do appreciate you saying that stuff. So, great. So, what would you say are when you started searching, before you looked at any of the venues or vendors and stuff, did you sit down and say, okay, what's our budget? Or did you kind of just start searching and kind of get a feel for things and then take all those parts and figure out what your budget should be for each aspect of those things?
Nope, we had a hard budget from our parents. So
okay.
It was, It was very easy for our parents to say X amount is your budget, and anything else above that, you're responsible for. So that's, I think, another reason why we've, you know, done so much research, too, because we want to make sure that obviously we're getting the best product, but for the best price. So, we definitely had a hard budget. I think I had a few conversations with my parents, and if they're listening, they'll probably smile, that, you know, I think that they were still planning a wedding for theirs, which was in 1973, and prices have changed. So that was kind of a funny slash uncomfortable conversation to say, hey, Mom, you know, things cost a little bit more nowadays. So, we definitely had that set number that we're aiming to stay within.
And when you went out and you found your venue, which was obviously the biggest expense that you're going to have for the wedding, did you then say, because there's probably, you had a wide variety of different costs for different venues, say, you know, from anywhere from, I don't know, $10,000 to $50,000 and stuff. And how did you kind of weigh things out with, or was it just, we're going to find the venue that we fell in love with? Or how much did the cost of it actually come into play, or was it just kind of on the back burner of seeing what things cost?
Yeah, to be honest, we kind of again listed it as importance of the wedding, and the venue was number one. So while we did have a overall budget, mm-hmm. we were willing to go spend the most amount on our venue. So meaning the price was really down the list as far as importance. We're going to look at all these places. If a place really stood out to us, we knew that, you know, if this is going to take us out of our budget, we would have, you know, we would be willing to make up the extra costs, or, you know, we could save money throughout the next 9 months and help pay, you know, and obviously we'll help pay for the wedding, myself, but we're willing to put extra money into it because we love this venue. And, you know, as it turned out, because the funny story, the Women's Club of Evanston, we picked, and we didn't even know the little fact that we found out a couple weeks later on it was that they do allow you to bring in your own alcohol, which, you know, I'm sure, as you know, David, is a big, big cost
yes.
saver, as well as the fact that they provide, you know, round tables, they provide the chairs. You know, you can upgrade from your caterers, but they provide the forks, the knives, spoons, all that other stuff too that a lot of the other vendors didn't. But the funny thing is, like I said, we didn't choose them because of that. We actually found that out 2 weeks after we signed a contract with them. So it ended up being a benefit. But we liked the venue so much that we were willing to pay more for the right venue.
And to add on to that, we definitely had, you know, there are some venues in Chicago that were definitely out of our price range that we didn't even look at. But like Joe had mentioned, we had that hard budget. So we were able to understand and to kind of realize if we love a venue and it costs more than, what we're willing or want to spend on our venue as far as, you know, being proportionate with our budget, that was okay because it was that's so huge, the venue. So we definitely try to stay within a range. And actually on the knot.com, there is a budgeter that you can use. It's just a budget tool that kind of says, all right, if this is so-and-so is your budget, this is how much you should be spending on certain vendors. So we kind of had that in mind as well. But we really, really lucked out with the Women's Club because, like Joe mentioned, they provide so much, which really cuts costs in other aspects, which helps.
Yeah, and I think some of those quote-unquote wedding guides can be a little bit misleading, and because I think it's really much more of an art than a science. Because some people, like Tamale, per se, you know, having a great videographer is important. And maybe you'd spend a little bit more on your videographer than you would on your photographer. So, and to Joe, having a great great live band was really important, and you spend perhaps a little bit more than some of the other quote-unquote inexpensive bands that you may have come across too. But if it's something that's important to you, I think you are able to shift things around, so maybe you don't have the world's most fabulous flowers in the world, but you have an incredibly great band, and you've got a fantastic videographer then you're really getting the things that are most important to you and not what some chart says you have to just fill in and what they kind of feel are most important. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to go George Costanza on your invitations or anything like that, but I think putting them into the things that your guests will remember the most, because if they say, oh, Molly, we had such a great time at your wedding, those monogram forks were just fantastic, and Joe, the way you had those envelopes, the parchment you used for your envelopes were just incredible, you know. What they're going to talk about, hopefully, is the beautiful room and how much fun they had and how beautiful Molly looked, you know. And so I call it the barbecue test. So 2 years after your wedding and they're talking about your wedding, what are the things that they're going to be mentioning?
Definitely.
So there is an endless supply of places to put your money, but you want to make sure you're putting your money into the things, first of all, the specific services that are important to you, and also the absolute best value you can get from those services. What happens sometimes is people will call, let's say, some discount florist that, you know, they're not necessarily the greatest, but one of their big features is how cheap they are. And so it says, and I have no idea how much florists cost, let's say $2,000, which I'm sure is completely off. But then they think, a bride and groom is going to think, like, okay, well, that's what florists cost. And then they go to much more legitimate and much stronger, more experienced and higher quality work, and they go to some other florist, and let's say they're $5,000. They're going to think, oh, my gosh, those guys are way overpriced, because their initial call is to somebody, you know, a $2,000 quality florist. How did you guys kind of find a balance between, you know, the two opposite extremes of these, you know, the spectrum there?
Yeah, that's a good point, David, because you do come across a wide range of prices, whether, like you mentioned, for a band or for a venue or photographer, videographer. So I think what I would encourage any bride or any future bride and grooms that are listening is to do your research. If you go to two places, you're going to have two contrasting prices. But if you go to four, or you really do your research on five, then you know you're going to be able to weigh the value per the cost. You know, and that's what we did. And maybe 13 was a lot of venues to see, but. You know, if you only see two, then you're really limiting yourself to that. So if you really want to make your wedding great and make it fun for everyone else and your family and your friends, the more research you do, the more I think the happier you're going to be with your end decision. Because, like you said, you're going to see seven different people and you're going to know what that value and the cost are, because everything's going to start making sense. And then by the end of it, you're going to see why. Like you mentioned, the flower company, XYZ, is only $1,000 as opposed to $5,000. So,
and it really, I've changed all our pricing packet and all the conversations about cost, really changed it over to investment, because that's really what you're doing. You're spending money into things that you hopefully will pay off exponentially at your wedding. So, for example, if you get a $4,000 band that shows up and they mispronounce your mom's name and they don't get back to you and people aren't really dancing and it's way too loud, and or you spend, you know, something more in the $10,000 range and you get, you know, an incredible band that packs the dance floor and has everything organized and other aspects, to me that's far less expensive than the $4,000 you spend for a band or any other services. So it's really something where the conception of inexpensive versus expensive is a little bit of an illusion, because you really do get what you pay for, and you've got this one shot in your life, this one time, this one night, and you can't send an email a week later, sorry, our wedding, you know, the food is really kind of lame and the flowers are bad and we had bad entertainment, but we saved so much money on our wedding. You guys wouldn't believe how much money we saved. You know, so it's really about making the best investments into your wedding and what's going to give you the absolute best results for your big day. And that's all that really counts.
Yep. Yeah, and it was, you know, exactly right. And the odd part was in there, too, if you see a lot of places or see a lot of photographers or what have you, The part about that is that the science is that, like you mentioned, is that if you have four of them that are then similarly priced, where's the value in it too? So you can dig deeper on it as you go. But that's what Molly and I did, and just narrowed it down like she talked about with the venues. Okay, we saw 13. We ruled these five out. These eight we like. Okay, well, these three we don't like as much. And you just keep narrowing it down to two, and then you pick one, and it makes it that much easier.
Was it helpful to you or reassuring to you when you saw a company that advertised in a lot of different places? For example, you went on The Knot, you see their ad there, then you pick up a magazine, here's another ad for them. Maybe you're on Facebook and their ad pops up. Is that helpful for your confidence in a company to be able to see them? Oh, they're here, they're there, they're over there. Does that give you more confidence, or how does that strike you guys?
I don't know. Joe may differ in opinion from me with this, but I'm not in advertising. I have no idea how much it may cost to advertise on thenot.com. And honestly, I'm just seeing it, and I'm looking at the name, and I'm not really, you know, taking too much of it into account. I don't know what they've done or what they've produced or anything. I just know that they paid money to put an ad up on a website. I know the numbers and the figures with advertising obviously show that it's a very successful tactic for getting, you know, branding and all that. But from a personal experience, I never ever once was sitting on thenot.com and saw, you know, XYZ Florist and Googled them and made sure to make contact with them. Ads don't really mean much. I think a lot of people out there, because the way Facebook, you know, has advertisements on their page or other, you know, multiple other websites, everyone just kind of becomes immune to it, and ads become more of an annoyance than anything. So I think for some people it would definitely work, but just from a personal experience, it didn't mean much, if anything, to me.
And if I can chime in real quick, David, because I agree with Molly. I think where with us, where the ads helped was getting our foot in the door. Like, so Molly talked about some ads on Facebook, so they pop up. Because, you know, our status is engaged and blah, blah, blah. So now we have all these ads on Facebook that are on our page for venues and all these other things. So it makes sense that, oh, okay, I didn't even think about the whatever wedding here in this venue. So let's give them a call and let's set up an appointment. But, what you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to the ad helps getting the foot in the door. But at the end of the day, it came down to checking it out, researching it, visiting that site or visiting with that person. And then make a decision from there, because the ad can kind of also you know, hide what's really, you know, or just, you know, someone shouldn't buy just on the ad.
Mm-hmm. Great. So it's really got to be a balance between the personalization of stuff as well as using social media and advertising as a way, just really, as Joe had mentioned, really getting the conversation started.
Right, exactly. It's a good foot in the door, but after that, then you find out about, you know, the kind of the real company and see what it's about. So.
Great, great, great. In the last few moments we have here, if you're speaking to a couple that maybe some of your friends that just got engaged, what advice would you give them to save them time so they can make the best decisions for their wedding?
What I found, which was very useful with my planning, and I'm very, very happy the way things have been going so far, is to prioritize by the way people book up. So a band, a venue, in most instances, or, you know, a caterer may only be able to do one event on your day. So a florist can do multiple events in one day, or, a baker can, you know, bake multiple cakes in one day. I have definitely prioritized. So venue is number one because they book up quickly, and then band because we know they book up quickly as well, and caterer. So, you know, now we're on the photography, videography, and, you know, bigger companies that have multiple people that are able to do multiple events. That's kind of how we prioritize. So definitely, definitely, definitely book the things that you know are going to book up quickly, and that's your music, and that's your venue, and that's your food.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Molly and Joe, for being our first bride and groom on our program. This is absolutely fascinating to myself. Hopefully the brides and grooms, as well as all the various wedding vendors out there, really learned a lot. I know I certainly have from our conversation. So I wanted to thank you so much for being our guest today.
definitely.
No, thanks for having us, David. We appreciate it. We didn't realize we were the first bride and groom, but we appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys are mavericks right here, so making radio history, I think. So so thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really excited about working with you for your wedding next September. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you.
And if you are looking for any live music for your particular wedding, feel free to give me a call at 773-244-1239 or our website, drsmusic.com. You can listen to the program, which will be archived on our website, drsmusic.com. Thank you so much for listening, and all the best for your wedding. Bye-bye.